Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. It's our Wednesday show. We're at 312-981-7200, but you already knew that. You can call us or text us anytime you like.
I got to tell you, I'm okay with this rain because sometimes I forget to water the new plants that I've planted. And
Mother Nature takes care of that for you. Mother Nature's helping me.
That's good. So the rest of us commuters can get doused because you forgot to petal your petunias.
Good morning, Steve.
Can I request something?
What?
That some of this moonlighting type banter goes on tomorrow during the ceremony.
I'm hoping so badly. I don't think so. We're much more on the up and up tomorrow.
All right.
No, you're more on the up and up. He's going to play it real seriously and be like such a professional, which you should try doing every day.
Oh.
Zing.
That hurt a little bit.
Was she talking to you, Bill?
Steve, I would have some Bectine ready all throughout tomorrow's service.
A butterfly bandage?
Yes, have that at ready.
My sister actually texted me last week and said, you know, thank God for me and your brother getting you primed to work with Steve Bertrand.
Oh, really?
Because everyone has, not picked on me, but I'm very gullible. I believe everything, and everyone has fun making fun of me.
I think that's your greatest asset, is your ability
to be teased and
ridiculed. Yes, I know that seems like a stretch, but I think that's at the top of your resume. I think.
Well, because you like to tease people, so we're the perfect pair.
Oh yeah, yeah. That has a lot to do with
it. You think I would learn?
No, no.
I really don't.
Why would you? Who needs that? I'm slightly upset with myself because I let myself get suckered into actually caring about the finale of Dancing with the Stars, which I can't believe I'm better than that.
How long was it?
It was 2 hours.
Oh,
and you haven't watched any other episode.
At the 5 second mark, I turned it on 5 seconds in, and I swear to you, at the 5 second mark, I said, this is the longest I've ever watched Dancing with the Stars. I've seen a clip every once in a while. But because David Ross was in it, and because I love David Ross, I said, I want to see this guy win this thing.
He didn't deserve to win. God love him. He really didn't deserve to win the whole thing. And I'm surprised he got this far, but everybody loves him.
He was by far not the best dancer. And I think if you asked David Ross that question, he'd be the first to tell you he was not by far the best dancer. He may have been the worst dancer.
He was surprised he made it this far, but he's David Ross.
It's a testament to how lovable he is that everybody loves his story is just so amazing that everybody rallied to his side. And why wouldn't you? And I thought to myself, boy, what an incredible year this guy has had. Let's make it even more incredible by giving him what they call the Silver Ball Trophy. And now I'm mad at myself for even knowing that.
I'm embarrassed for you.
I'm embarrassed for me, too, because that's a show. As I watched it, first of all, I thought last night's show would be an hour, and that's an hour too long, in my opinion. And it was 2 hours, and time didn't move. Even though
there were only two people left,
There were three.
So did they dance like four different songs or something? Or?
Why did it take so long?
They did everything you could possibly do to fill 120 minutes. They had people that had already lost. They came back on. They showed you clips of them in weeks 1 through 18.
So a retrospective kind of
thing? Yeah, they showed that. They reworked some of the dances they already did. They interviewed people who had once danced. Like, which is like, did you ever go to a wedding? Yeah, I went to a wedding. Did you dance? Yeah, well, let's find out about it. And then they also had carnival rides, and I know that sounds like I'm making it up, but they did.
Honestly?
Did not.
Yes, they did.
How?
I don't know why or how, because it's called Dancing with the Stars. It's not called Carnival Rides with the Stars, but they had a Ferris wheel, and they had other carnival rides, and people wrote, like, at some point, Erin Andrews was on a carousel with four really rude guys that kept yelling stuff. And I said I don't watch this enough to know why this is on, but my family doesn't usually watch it either. But I made them watch it. Yeah, because we were having dinner, and I said I want to see David Ross win, and they all gave in, and we all watched it together, and all four of us just kept looking at each other, going, "Why is this show so popular? I can't understand it." There's not a single thing I saw yesterday. I swear to you, if I was a finalist on next year's show, I still wouldn't watch it.
Well, some people love it. My girlfriend Gail couldn't switch dinner dates with, we were supposed to all go out to dinner. I couldn't make it Tuesday yesterday because it was Michael's birthday. Gail says, no, I can't go either day because I'm watching Dancing with the Stars.
It has that kind of impact
on
people. I can't.
Go online the next day and watch the highlights.
And save yourself a long, long 2 hours.
I think Steve agrees with you, listener Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi. It wasn't 2 hours. It was 2.5 hours.
Was it 2.5?
Time flies when you're having fun, Bill.
Do you normally watch it, Steve, or did you just watch it because you wanted to see David Ross win?
I normally watch it with my wife because I can put up with it. It's one of the few shows we watch together.
Yeah.
But, Dave, Bill, you have to admit, the costumes on the ladies are worth watching.
Yeah, that was nice.
That'll get you through 2.5 hours?
Oh.
No. It was, I washed dishes. I cleaned up the kitchen during it. It was a long drag, 2.5 hours.
Steve, back me up. For some reason, and somebody may have to explain to me, because there were carnival rides, right? They kept showing carnival rides?
It was, for some reason, an ABC show is shot at CBS Studios, and up next to that is Farmer's Market
right.
in L.A.
Yeah.
So that, they were going back and forth between outside and inside.
Oh. They don't normally do that?
No.
I didn't know that.
No.
Because you'd watch more if they did.
Yeah, I would definitely watch more. From Television City in Hollywood, it's the Carol Burnett Show. That's CBS.
That's where they filmed it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, sorry you guys can't get the 2.5 hours of your life back.
Wish I could.
Thank you. And the worst part was then he didn't win. Like, David Roth, like, I just wanted to see him win.
You didn't think he was going to win, did you?
Oh, I totally did. Because it was such a beautiful, like, Cinderella story that you just don't see.
But it's called Dancing with the Stars, not Beautiful Stories with the Stars.
No, I know. I get.
Jan, you predicted the winner?
I did, in exactly that order. And here's why. The girl came in with the most talent.
Right.
The woman. The winner came in, and he worked his... I mean, they told. He put in 360-some hours of practice.
Yeah.
So he was the hardest worker. She was the most skilled, and David Ross was the most popular. So I told my sister, and I don't. And look, you could. I did a bunch of stuff too. I mean, I played cards with myself. I read my book. I turned on the Cavaliers.
I didn't know you were allowed to do other stuff. I thought you had to just watch it.
You are allowed. And the Cubs were playing, and I even had the Sox on my phone so I could check out how they were doing. I mean, you don't have to watch it now.
No, I didn't know that.
Bill didn't know the rules. He's new to this.
I had no idea. Well,
anyway, I knew exactly who was going to win, and David Ross, people loved him.
Yeah.
Loved him. So he was the popular choice. She was the most skilled, but she came into it with more, you know, she had more assets in a lot of ways.
Right.
And the other guy worked really, really hard because he's a football player and that's what he does.
Yeah.
So it was good that it ended up the way it did.
Now, can I ask you something? Because here they kept showing clips. They the other people who had lost throughout the season, they kept showing up. Nancy Kerrigan was amazing. Like,
really?
She was so good. She was so good.
Yes.
But then there was a girl on from Glee, a girl that I recognized from Glee, whose career started out. She was a dancer in Beyonce videos. So why would you allow a dancer to be in a dance? And then she lost anyway.
Well, that's it. I mean, why do they have gymnasts every time and football players and all these people that are really highly skilled? I mean, because they want people to watch from different venues. Why did they have Sarah Palin's daughter on?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't dancers by trade.
This girl from Glee, she started her career out as a dancer.
That doesn't
she did
seem
music
fair.
Videos.
I don't know. But she's not dancing now. She's singing, isn't she? I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And she ended up winning?
No, she was eliminated early on.
Well, it's just like Simone Biles got eliminated, and she got all 10s the week before this. But if you don't have the popular vote, if there aren't people that are going to vote for you, like whoever voted for David Ross, I mean, they put his videos up on the screen at
right.
the Cubs game, and like everybody in the stand voted for him.
I know.
So they're kind of like how many 30,000 people?
Yeah, at least. All right. It makes more sense now, Jan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan. Somebody says I regularly watch Dancing with the Stars, and this was way too long.
Oh, it just went on forever. I did switch back and forth between the Cubs game and Dancing with the Stars. John Lester pitched a masterpiece. That was fun to see. But all I wanted to see was David Ross win it, and I really could have just tuned into the last 45 seconds.
Like you did with the Bears games a lot of times.
Right.
You should have done that.
I should have done
What's happened to you?
I don't know.
You should be embarrassed.
I am embarrassed. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN. You know, can I, one other quick thing, because this will probably be the last time I ever talk about Dancing with the Stars, ever, ever, ever.
I don't believe you, by the way.
Oh, I'm hooked. I can't stop watching now. At the end, and I don't know if this is a normal thing or if this is just something they do on the last episode, but they show these videos of the people who are the finalists. And, you know, I know that a lot of work goes into the dancing with the partner. I get that. You know, you're probably doing this every day for months, right, to prepare for last night's episode. But there's a lot of holding of each other. And in all the three cases of the finalists, as they realize, oh, this is the last time we'll ever be dancing together, they all express their love for each other. And I'd be very uncomfortable if I was the husband or wife of one of the contestants and they're kind of just all holding each other and saying, I've come to love you and I will miss you tremendously. It seems
that
like
would bother you
a little bit, just a little bit. You'd be okay with that? If Jimmy was on the show and he's all over some dancer and he's got his arms all around her going,
what are you supposed to do?
This has been the best experience of my life and I will miss you tremendously. And I love you. And sometimes these, you know, the dancers and the stars in italics, sometimes they fall in love.
If that's what's supposed to happen, first of all, Jim would never do it. He would never dance. Well, actually, he might.
It was hypothetical. I know they're not going to ask Jimmy to be Dancing with the Stars.
Okay. No,
well, imagine it's a Star Wars conference.
Right.
Oh, he's met a lot of women dressed as Princess Leia, and I'm sure
he hasn't done a video where he says how much he loves them. You'd be okay with that?
People throw around that term loosely these days.
Maybe that's what it is. Like, I would only say it if
insecure?
I truly... No, it's not insecure. It's just, it's weird. You don't think it's a little bit weird?
Well, yeah, but...
Just because you dance with somebody for a couple months, you can't just automatically fall in love with them.
Well, can't you love someone and not be in love with someone?
Yes, absolutely.
You are one of the most literal people I've ever met.
Thank you.
It's not a must-win game. You know, there's so many things like that about you where that's not what the word means.
I don't know. I was just watching it, and I don't watch the show ever, and I never will
again. You're not supposed to watch
it. I'm only going to watch it last night. I'm never going to watch it again. But here's what kept going through my mind through the whole thing was that, and then also they kept talking about this summer tour that they're having, and a lot of the big stars are going to go from city to city and then dance.
And wouldn't you be sad if your wife went away for the whole summer and did this tour? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I kept hoping that David Ross would opt out of that. That he'd go, all right, I did this for a while. I was on TV. You saw me dance.
I've been traveling every summer for years.
For the last 20 years. I don't want... Because he said the reason he was hanging it up from baseball was to spend more time with his family. So what if they tricked our friend David Ross into doing this summer tour?
He's a big boy. I mean, he probably thinks this is the last of my busy years. I'm going to do it. I enjoy it. Well, plus, the people love him.
Don't you think they're obligated? If they went on the show, they probably had to sign
probably.
Something that...
Probably.
They've got to go new now. Tango and Topeka.
I hope he talked to somebody before he signed that.
I hope he loves no one other than his wife.
That's what I hope too.
Jeez, you are a piece of work. Hi, Diana.
Hi. I had a comment. The lady that won, Emma?
Yes.
Her fiance is one of the pros on the show, Sasha.
Now, I don't know who any of these people are.
So they dance with other people is what you're saying.
Yeah, so when she was like all over her partner last night, her fiance is there watching.
So you had the same feeling
dancing,
I had.
They're dancing, you guys.
Yes.
They're not having sex.
That would be a show.
Sexing
sex with
the stars.
That, yeah, so it's like, okay. Yeah. A lot of those pros are like together, though, I think.
Kevin, call ABC and tell them Wendy and I have an idea called Boinking with the Stars and see if they're interested.
Are you going to watch it, Diana?
I might.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It's just, you know.
No, but if you had, I don't think I'm doing it justice. If you had seen these videos, because you go, well, that guy's married to somebody else, and so is she. And then they're like, they're just all over each other.
What about actors? Your wife's an actor. You're an actor.
Yeah.
What if you got to, you know, make out with, who should I pick? Who of your many women fans?
I'm anxious to hear.
I can't think of her name. In Pirates of the Caribbean.
Keira Knightley?
Yes.
Oh, Keira Knightley?
What if all of a sudden, you know, you had to do a scene with her? I mean, it's acting in a sense, too.
Just go slower.
Oh, my God. What if Terry and John Hamm had to do a love scene together?
That would be uncomfortable.
What about Terry and Kevin Smith?
Oh, no. Don't even say that.
Well, I would imagine you wouldn't care as much because you're thinking, well, she's never going to leave me for Kevin Smith. Right. But John Hamm, maybe.
I mean, I love Wendy, Bill. Don't you love Wendy?
I do have love for you guys, absolutely. Right. And
but
I spend more time with you.
You hang on us. I've never seen you hang on either Steve or me.
I haven't been that drunk.
You go home quickly after the show, Bill.
But, I mean, there's a certain love, yeah. I have.
Right.
I've known you a long time. I have love in my heart for you, but I'm not in love with you.
Right. Go back to Keira Knightley for just a couple minutes.
Ay.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Steve has the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Effen and it's Wendy Snyder. You can call in. You can text in at 312-981-7200. We would love to hear from you. Yesterday, not during the regular show, but in our bonus hour, in the stream of consciousness hour that we do from 12 to 1, we talked with Judy Pilak about what was going on in the newsroom here at WGN as reports were filtering in from Manchester, England, in regards to the bombing. And she told us how, you know, there were originally some tweets that there was a situation going on in Manchester. And then
one really knew.
Right. It was all very vague. And the next reports were that it seems to have been a false alarm. And then came word that, no, not a false alarm, that there had been a bombing. And they were trying to piece out exactly what was real and what was fabrication because you didn't want to report on it incorrectly.
Right. And a lot of news services want to be first, and I get that, because with breaking news, and although some stations use breaking news for everything, the sun came up today, breaking news.
Yeah.
You want to stay on top of things, but it's a difficult choice. Do you want to be first, or do you want to be correct?
It's sad that you can't be both, but I think the nature of the beast of reporting on news now, because there's so much competition, is everybody's trying their best to get the story out first, and sometimes the sacrifice is... it's slightly inaccurate. When I got home from work yesterday, I had CNN on, and they showed an interview that CNN was doing with two people whose daughter was missing. This is Olivia Campbell.
Which I can't even imagine. I mean, to hear the news that your child is dead is one thing, but to not know?
They both seemed... You didn't see the report by any chance, did you? It was so hard to watch because you automatically, you like you said, you put yourself in their place. You just say to yourself, I don't know that I could get the words out at this point. And they're trying their best to make a plea that if anyone sees their daughter or knows anything, please, please, please contact them. They explained in great detail how they had discussions with her, not necessarily about that particular night, but about how if you're ever in a situation where, you know, you feel like you can't call us for whatever reason, you can call us. Just take a cab home. We'll pay for it. If you want to, you know, us to not ask questions, we won't ask questions. But they were kind of playing the angle of we're hoping upon hope that she was not one of the victims, that she somehow got out of there and is, you know, is nervous for whatever reason and wants to come home but is afraid for whatever reason. They were just playing the angle of we're hoping some miracle happened that has not gotten her home yet. And I'm watching this, and you can't watch this without saying to yourself, I don't know what I would do in that same situation, but I hope they're right. I hope that something happened that, you know, she got, you know, separated from her group or whatever.
Although, wouldn't you think a kid would text their parent first and foremost and say, I'm okay?
A 15-year-old would do that, you would hope. That's another angle. The mom, in this case, Charlotte Campbell, explained how just prior to the show, she received some texts from Olivia saying, you know, I'm here. I can't believe I'm here. This is going to be such a great night and stuff like that. And she's fighting back tears. And the stepfather is also, Paul is his name, Paul Hodgson, is also fighting back tears. And as you're watching this, you go, oh, the odds are so far against them that this is going to end well. But please let this end well. Didn't end well.
It's so sad to think about this. Yeah. All the kids at this concert. I heard, Steve, I don't remember who was on with John Williams yesterday. Was it Chris Jones, who's from Manchester?
Yes, Chris Jones.
Who was saying that the area that the bomb went off is where parents would have been waiting to pick up their kids. I got word this morning. I had heard, too, that one mom was killed, the husband in critical condition. They had been there to pick up their kid. It's heartbreaking any way you look at it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's tough to let your kid go to a show sometimes at that age without you escorting them.
Right.
But to think, oh, this is Ariana Grande, we'll drop you off, we'll pick you up. Heartbreaking.
It's so awful. They confirmed last night that Olivia didn't make it.
How old?
15 years
Jeez.
Old. Yeah, you know, there's no part of this that's pretty. I mean, every part of it's awful. And amidst all this terrible, terrible, just the terrible situation of what it was, I was pulling for these people so badly, you know. And the word came out late last night that she was one of the ones identified. They were calling. Let me see if I can find the part of the story that's pertinent to this. A mother who made an anguished public appeal for information about her missing daughter following the Ariana Grande concert bombing has received the news that she'd been dreading. Charlotte Campbell discovered that 15-year-old Olivia was among the 22 fans of the pop star who were killed in Monday's attack in Manchester, England. She revealed the update on her Facebook page early on Wednesday. RIP, my darling, precious, gorgeous girl. I can't read it.
I know. It's really terrible. Here, point to where it is.
It's right there.
Rest in peace, my darling, precious, gorgeous girl, Olivia Campbell, taken far, far too soon. Go sing with the angels and keep smiling. Mommy loves you so much.
It's awful.
It is awful. I can't even imagine the fear going through these kids' mind when this was going on.
So
and
what
parents.
What happens now? I mean, what do they do now? I watched the news last night, and they were talking about how in every city, including Chicago, I'm trying to remember who was The Weeknd here last night. Is that who was performing? They were talking about how they've beefed up security, and I guess that's what you have to do now is beef up security.
Yeah,
but make sure
you can beef up security all you want. Every single place on earth, there's always somewhere that's not going to be beefed up, and someone who wants to get in and do this will do this.
It's terrible.
There's no rhyme or reason to it. And now the Cubs have decided to spend, what, $1 million on video cameras?
How are they?
To keep track of things. And then I was hearing that this morning thinking, well, that somebody has to watch those cameras.
Right.
I mean, you never know. And as we were talking about with Judy Pilak yesterday, too, a lot of times you can't pinpoint the bad guy.
No, it's almost impossible,
yeah.
Isn't it? Not that Ariana Grande is the person we should feel the most sorry for in this situation, because people lost their lives, and that's as tragic can be. But I couldn't help yesterday, as they were following her, she came back to the United States right away. You know, she feels a bit of guilt. She talked about how broken she feels. And I get that, because you say to yourself, even though
no fault of hers at all.
Right. But then you say, they came to see me. Those kids came to see me, and some of them lost their lives. No blame on her. Of course, no blame on her. But there'd be a tinge of guilt that's inevitable.
A tinge. I think overwhelming guilt.
Yeah.
And we talked about this yesterday as well, that it's not like ISIS, if it is in fact an ISIS plot.
Yeah.
It's not like they were targeting Ariana Grande. They were targeting the venue. And it just so happened that she was performing
that
there.
That was the show.
And that's what bothers me the most, is that particular celebrity, the audience that would go to see her. Not that it's better if adults die, but,
right.
You know, children, come on. I can't stop thinking about that.
Yeah, that's one of the many parts of this. No part of this makes sense, but
right.
You say to yourself, that's what they're picking on, is teenage girls? You know, it's just awful.
All right, Howard wants to get in on the conversation. 312-981-7200. Hey, Howard.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, maybe where'd this guy come from? The bombed him. Obviously, he got his influence from the Middle East and so forth, and he came over. Somehow, he got his influence from the Middle East. Now, what is wrong with doing extra vetting on these people coming from the Middle East, innocents or not? or you want to continue to take a risk on having these things happen all the time.
But then this,
with you.
But now the story, Howard, that keeps coming out is how the terrorist groups are now trying to find people that are more homegrown, because they wouldn't be a suspect if they were plotting something in the United States, or in this case, it was in England. So the terrorist groups are now on to that. So they want to find people, disgruntled people who are already living, who are from the United States or England or an ally power.
Citizens of those countries.
Right, because they're less suspect.
And there's
where are these terrorist groups located, though?
Well, I get that.
So we better go get rid of those guys so they can't influence these guys, in the homegrown ones in the United States and England.
Well, that's the plan, is to make this stop, but the internet helps very much. Howard, we appreciate
it. Well, it does, but you better go get them, or you're going to be in trouble.
Who do you go get, though? Can you just explain that?
Sure, you better go clean out the Middle East where these guys are at.
And what about the innocent people who live there who don't condone this at all?
All right. Who's more innocent, my son or those people over there? Who do I want to protect, those people or my own family?
Well, obviously you want to protect your own family, but there are good people living there that want to protect their family as well.
I understand that, but as long as they keep taking part in harboring those people over there, then I'm more willing to give up those people than my own family and your kids and Bill's kids. Aren't you?
Howard, we all want
the same thing. Nobody wants to see people wiped out in an event like this. That's obvious. But is it possible to truly wipe out terrorism? Is that even a remote possibility?
No, I think you do a lot better job than what we're doing right now.
I hope you're right. I would love you to be right. I want that to be. I mean, I'm sick about what happened 2 days ago.
But unfortunately, like Wendy just said, you're going to kill other innocents over there because they're in essence harboring them over there.
They're not truly innocent. They're living their lives.
I mean, there might be some harboring some or something like that, but there are millions and millions of people living their lives just like you are here today.
Who don't agree with this and who want their children to be safe.
Then how come we don't hear them talking up more about against these terrorists over there?
Well, maybe you're not listening.
You do. In fact, I've already written it, but there's a story in the 11 o'clock news about the Manchester Muslim community standing up against what happened.
Well, it's about time. But you haven't heard a whole lot of voices from them for about the past 10 years from the Muslim community about how they don't like this. It's about time they start speaking up against these guys.
I think they have been.
They've been doing it.
What you're listening to, though.
Howard,
there's no simple answer, you know? You can't just go wipe out a country and start from the beginning.
Well, if it's my family or that country, guess who's going to get wiped out?
You don't have weapons, do you, Howard?
If it's your family or that country, who are you going to want to wipe out?
Well, I don't want to wipe anyone out. I just want my family to be safe. Without wiping anyone out.
But if you got to make the choice, which one are you going
to... We don't have to make that choice.
How? Why? You're going to have to, because it ain't going to stop this way.
All right. Well, we appreciate your comments, and we understand how much you love your family, Howard. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you can do that.
Well, it shouldn't come down to, I mean, it's so selfish to say that I wouldn't sacrifice the four members of my family for an entire country. But, I mean, it doesn't come down to that.
No, it's not black or white.
Right.
Joe, go ahead.
I'm going to try to keep this pleasant, but that last caller is an idiot.
Oh, right.
He has passion, and I understand he wants to keep his family safe. I don't understand what his reasoning is.
What's different about what that terrorist did than what his suggestions are?
Right. Because then
he wants to go there and do the exact same thing.
Right.
It's just, why doesn't he care so much about the gangs in Chicago or in this area or wherever he's at? That's more homegrown than anything he's going to be able to fix over there. But I hate when people like that start talking on the radio or anywhere and just start suggesting we go blow something up. I mean, that's just a typical idiot. But, I don't mean to call in and
we don't know that he's an idiot. His views don't jive with yours.
He said, I honestly, I wanted to slap the radio.
Oh, don't do that.
What he was saying.
That hurts all of us.
That's all I wanted to say.
Well,
Joe, thank you very much, and I get it. We're going to take a quick break. More calls on this, and there is no right or wrong answer. It's because really, you know, we're worried about our children getting blown up at a concert. Some of the Muslim people are worried about their children getting blown up if we go attack.
Right. I think we all have the same. We all want the same thing.
Right.
It's just the means by which we can get it done. All right. We'll take a break. More of your calls, more of your texts. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. I know we only have a minute or two here, but what went on, the aftermath of what went on in Manchester is a little bit reminiscent about what went on here after 9/11. I'll never forget watching television nonstop for the next several days. And there was a large sentiment of people who, after being sucker punched, you know, with the Twin Towers and everything, said, we got to find out the country that did this and we got to blow them to smithereens. And there was a lot of that kind of talk on TV. As time went on, I think cooler heads prevailed and we all realized that's probably not the right answer, to obliterate an entire country, including all the innocent people who had nothing to do with this, isn't our best bet.
Agreed. Real quickly, Camelia, we don't have a lot of time, but go ahead and get your point out there.
I just wanted to say, in regards to that caller previously, Howard, about asking for Muslims to apologize basically for these terrorist acts, you know, I'm tired of hearing that because, I mean, after a white man commits a mass murder, do we call for all white men to apologize?
No.
You're absolutely right.
You know, and, like, it's just, I'm just really tired of hearing that. Like, people who, actual Muslims who do not pervert the faith, do not condone this behavior. So, I mean, for Howard to say those idiotic things, and he is an idiot, I agree with the caller after him. You know, it's just, I hope you're listening, Howard, and you understand that you're an idiot.
I just don't understand why people would think that, you know, all the Muslims agree with this. I mean, that's just really ignorant thinking.
It's impossible.
I mean, it's ignorant thinking.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, Camelia, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. We need to take a break. I know there's a lot of other people on hold, and we appreciate the calls and the texts so much, but we must take a break. The news is next, and then there's a whole lot more show coming. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I don't know if I should go with the term beef sandwich or beef sandwich.
Oh. I think both are acceptable, Wendy.
Here in Chicago, of course.
Yep. Dane Neal's here. You know him from On the Road with Dane Neal, which airs Saturdays here on WGN from 2 to 4. Doing a bang-up job with the show, by the way, Dane.
Bang-up? It's a sensitive subject when you're talking about anything related to autos, right?
Yeah.
Because, I think that could imply a collision
of
some kind.
You're doing a pleasant job
with
the show.
We're having a lot of fun. And we talk a little bit of food in there, too, at times on the tailgating side, and the road trip or restaurant and dining destinations. Chicago has been a destination for food for many, 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 many years. Most recognized maybe in the last 10, you know, globally for the fine dining side. But excited to have it. And Bill, Wendy, you know, we highlight all the big food holidays.
Sure.
Who could forget, you know, Brussels sprout appreciation week? You know, we talked about
that.
What
a week that was,
Dane.
Only three people participated.
That's all right.
And when we crowned
Miss Passionate,
Miss Popsicle, National Miss Popsicle Day.
We're still getting email on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is, and I, you know, you get excited for all of them because, you know, if you're into it, I mean, it's the kind of thing that kind of fuels the engine. But, this is one that I'm truly super excited about. The first ever, when you think about iconic Chicago foods, I'm around the country, talk to people, they say hot dogs, they say pizza, they may say steak houses, they may say some other things, but our iconic food, the thing that is, I think, one of the best things that we have that is so identified specifically and solely with Chicago is the Italian beef. And coming up, this is great, we're breaking it right here, is the first official National Italian Beef Day is coming up Saturday, May 27th for Chicago's favorite sandwich. So Italian beefs, as people come to town and then they say they've had it, they're like, I didn't know. It's so great. I
didn't know it originated here. What's wrong with me? I just grew up here, so I always had it.
Yep,
I thought everybody else had it.
We take it for granted, but now not only is the nation starting to recognize it, but recognize it in an official way with Appreciation Day. And we've got, you know, one of the guys behind the whole thing, you know, the Bona family and Bona Beef. We're also
Bona means good.
It does, right, in so many different ways. And you say we take it for granted, maybe we do, but without guys like Jimmy and his family, the beef sandwich would probably never exist. So Jimmy Bona's in studio, too.
Hey, Jimmy.
How's it going, guys?
You are Italian beef royalty.
I am, yes.
Yes, you are.
You can tell by the scepter.
The scepter and the
made
crown.
Made of beef. Actually, it's a sausage.
It's a combo scepter.
This is the only city where moms will fill a baby bottle with Italian beef and just let their babies just go at it.
I think so. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll tell you, growing up, I'm half Italian, and every family party, christenings, confirmations, graduations, it's the little Sterno cans and Bono beef. That's the way you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
You dip them, you want them wet or juicy, as the case may be.
Oh, hot and sweet.
There's something walking around out here that's frightening me.
Here's the thing, what do you think? Whatever time you got a royalty situation, there is the court, you know, the king and his court or an entourage of some sort. And we have Juicy, one of the live and giant mobile living Italian beefs right outside the showcase studio. He's a little bit down. He's trying to, of course.
I may eat him.
It wouldn't be the first time he was threatened with that, I'm sure.
He's throwing Italian beef at children as they pass by him. Is that safe?
And they're loving it.
Yeah, everybody loves it. Everybody loves it. All right, talk about your family lineage. How far back does this go, Jimmy?
So we established in 1981. My father and his brothers, so my uncles and my grandfather started it in Berwyn. And, we just kind of took it to the suburbs, and we expanded out more west.
It's impossible to hear Berwyn without thinking of Sven Gulli going, Berwyn, but we all held back. That
on
was
Roosevelt,
very
right?
Yeah, Roosevelt and Oak Park.
So what were they doing prior to this that made them think, well, we should open this up and see what happens? What sort of background did they have prior?
You know, basically my father, Carlo, he's the oldest of the brothers. He was working at Scala's meat factory.
Oh, yeah?
So he kind of had a little bit of inside in on the meat industry. And then also my grandfather's brother, he started Mr. Beef.
Oh, he
so
did.
He kind of had a little bit of insight from him, too. So
it always happens in Italian families where they all split off and have their own recipe.
Yeah.
And sometimes fight.
Sure, yeah.
Was there a little bit of rivalry between the Mr. Beef people and the Buono people?
Not at all. It was a smooth transition. It was kind of like a joint thing, and we learned things from my great uncle, and we just kind of took them and did our own version of it, too.
And Jimmy talks about Bona, you know, as kind of that, that iconic franchise that we have here in 1980. But like you were saying, too, with the families, like this has been going on since the 20s, right, as far as, like, the origination of Italian beef.
Sure, yeah. I think there was definitely some other families doing it before us. Al's is one of the big names out there. So, yeah.
And how did it evolve? Has it changed, like, a sandwich that would have been made back in the 1920s? If you put that next to one that was made today, what would the difference be, or would there be?
You know, I don't think that there's a difference for us. There's no difference at all.
Yeah.
We still do things the way that we did it back in the 1980s, and then that technique was taken from, like I said, my great uncle back in the day, too. So we do things the same way.
Did it start kind of to stretch some meat that you had in your family? You would slice it up, let it simmer and get really tender, and a loaf of bread wasn't that expensive. Is that kind of how it started?
Yeah. Traditionally, it was served at Italian weddings for that situation. So, you know, you can bring a piece of meat and a loaf of bread, and you can feed a bunch of people for not too expensive.
Although you drip on your good clothes, you know.
Yeah, that's
right. Right.
It's worth it.
They always say in Chicago, because we're purists, you don't want to put ketchup on a hot dog. What do you not want to put on an Italian beef sandwich?
You know what? I've seen a lot of different things on Italian beef. I think it's safe to say the things that you can put on there.
Yeah.
And it's hot jardiniere, it's sweet peppers, and it's mozzarella cheese.
Yeah.
Maybe some red marinara sauce, maybe.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
To cheese or not to cheese is really the big question.
Sure.
I grew up, we never had the cheese on an Italian beef sandwich,
sure.
And yet my kids like the cheese. I kind of go both ways, but I think I like the mozzarella on
it. Yeah, it's good. It adds a little mildness to it. So.
But if somebody comes in, Jimmy, and says, you got to put Swiss on there, what do you say? Are you okay with that?
If they brought their own Swiss.
If they brought their own Swiss.
All right. That's the key.
We'll put whatever you want on there. We'll put whatever.
All right.
You know, I was wondering, too, and you mentioned not a lot, you know, has maybe changed over the years. And it's one of those things that is about as simple as it can get. You get some really good bread,
mm-hmm.
and then you can have, you know, little different things that you do to it, whether it's the dipping or maybe the peppers or the not peppers or sweet or hot. And then you guys mentioned the cheese. But it is one of those things that is so simple, right? It's almost as simple as it gets. You know, when he mentioned the origins, too, and it was based around that not only was it simple, but it was economical, and it was something that just became a favorite. There are, when it's the 20s or the Depression and people are trying to stretch, not a lot of those foods that we look back into the team photo of things people had to subsist on mm-hmm. when they had absolutely nothing. Few of those, you know, move on to become huge favorites, right? It's more like thank goodness we can get different food now.
Right, true.
But the beef sandwich just stuck. Any thoughts on that? On why it's still stayed and become so popular? And I mean, it's totally
good.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the core. It's just good. It's really good. And it's like, you know, you said it's local to Chicago. So it's just something that you enjoy growing up. And that's it. Yeah.
Jimmy, people who are pizza aficionados, when they go to other cities, they try the pizza and it's rarely, if ever, good.
Sure.
Have you tried Italian beef sandwiches in other cities? How do they stack up?
Do they have
ours?
Them even?
You know, I recently I was in Colorado for a little bit, and the thing that they had out there was French dip, which I guess is their version of Italian
sort
beef.
Of, yeah,
it's a little bland, and it's not very as flavorful, bland. But that's the closest I've gotten to Italian beef outside of Chicago.
Did you try to help them out and go, I know how you can
make
this so much better?
I didn't. I just kind of let them have it and let them have their sandwich. And
if we've learned anything from the Colonel and his, you know, very protected and secretive 11 herbs and spices, as simple as it is, there is a taste. You know, there's a reason why over these years Bona has become so beloved. And it isn't just if anyone could just like throw meat on some bread, that would we'd all be French dip experts, right?
Sure.
But you know, maybe in the next segment or even right now, I think would be good. Is there like a secret recipe, or is it pretty open?
He's not going to reveal that. What are you trying to trick him?
But you can say if there is a secret. You don't have to tell us what the secret is, but there is some secret going on.
There's
right?
oregano. There's pepper.
Yeah, there's a little
garlic.
Bit of spices. The secret is really from just the way that you do it. And a lot of people like to make their gravy from a water base and add in the seasoning. Ours is completely different. Ours comes straight from the piece of meat, so that's why it's so flavorful. It's got all the good stuff in there. That's really the secret.
Well, you know, Bill and Wendy, we were both hung up in traffic because of the beef parades going on and all the roadblocks, you know, the beef marathon that they're going to be running a little bit later. But we've also got some coming up, some ways that Bona is celebrating
and
ways that they're kind of giving back all that love that they've gotten to make them, you know, one of these great franchises, one of these great foods. Is they've got some things that are going to be going on the 27th.
We'll find out what those are next. If we're on hold, I see people want to talk beef with us. Stay where you are. Beef Talk, 312-981-7200, Spill and Wendy, WGN. Spill and Wendy on WGN, along with Dane Neal and Jimmy Buono, talking about Italian beef and nothing but good news as we celebrate the first ever National Italian Beef Day.
Hey, what do you do for that? I mean, when you find out what are the powers that be and I guess the food-related Appreciation Day dispensation office, right? Mm-hmm. When you finally get that letter in the mail and you run home from the mailbox saying, guess what? Like, how do you guys celebrate that? Because this is pretty cool to have a day that you can use not only to enjoy, it's a testament to the success, but also kind of share that love with all the fans of what you're doing.
Yeah, so, you know, we definitely wanted to make a day to kind of celebrate Italian beef. So we petitioned for it, and we got it set up with Food Elementary to be the official National Italian Beef Day.
And when is it? May 27th?
May 27th. Saturday. So this is coming up this Saturday.
And this is the first annual, so from now on, May 27th will be known as National Italian Beef Day.
Jimmy, is it a parking meter holiday?
Huh? What do you mean by that?
Do you have to feed the parking meters? He's just being a goof.
Yeah, it's like some of the biggest holidays, you know, the parking meter Memorial Day or something, free parking.
It should be on Saturday.
Sure.
I'll talk to the mayor.
Are you aware of any kind of a papal message or anything, you know, coming down from the Vatican or anybody, you know, or world leaders kind of
have
weighing in?
Have you sent the Pope
support?
A beef sandwich?
We have tried to.
Really?
Yes. No, we haven't.
Oh, I don't believe anything. See,
I think he would like
even
it.
Even Jimmy Bona's doing that to me.
He's writing it down, though. This is another good idea.
Your food is now available at Jewel food stores. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. We got into Jewel a couple months ago, so we have a couple of products there. We got our beef there. Sausage.
He says it very effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Sausage.
You say it the Chicago way.
Yeah, I definitely have the little Chicago way.
Your Italian sausage. Growing up, I didn't really like Italian sausage that much. I got to be honest with you. Yours has such a unique and wonderful taste, and I was very excited to see it in my Jules refrigerated case. Something special in there?
No, nothing
love.
Special. No. Yeah,
it
love.
Just tastes so different. Yeah. It really does.
Love is different when it's right.
Yeah, I guess.
Dane, say that again slower. I want to write that down.
Go ahead and write that down.
I'm going to knit a pillow that says
love
that.
Is different when it's right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dane Neal said that, 2017.
Headstone. Anyway, what I'm thinking, though, too, is that one of the ways that people are enjoying it is you kind of create, you know, some of the great mascots throughout history. What are they? Bill, you would know that Ronald McDonald, obviously, was
easily
a great food mascot. You know, I'm sure there's
Milton the Toaster.
Milton the Toaster
probably
did
one,
really
right?
well, but the kids are really loving the mascots that you have. That we've got Juicy, one of the superstars within superstars, is out front right now. Juicy the Beef, and you've got what are the other ones? It's like Hot and Sweet and Cheesy, and you can see them not only here while we're doing this, but also at Northside, Southside for our baseball teams.
Yeah, so we have the Cheesy Beef, we have the Hot and Sweet, and then we have Juicy. He's walking around over here today. But they're also the mascots for the White Sox, Chicago White Sox. So
nice.
Are they going to run a race like they do in Milwaukee?
They run the race every Saturday home game. They do a race.
Really?
Yeah.
And do they tackle each other invariably?
I don't know if they get that crazy. But.
Okay. Because occasionally you'll see the Milwaukee sausage guys.
Yeah, they go a little crazy on each other.
Maybe I just watch the highlights on SportsCenter. That's really all they show.
Under a lot of pressure, Dane. You have to realize that. We were talking about what you can and cannot put on an Italian beef sandwich, and you said there is only really one cheese that belongs on there, and that cheese is what?
It's mozzarella.
Mozzarella. Now, Al calls in with an opposing viewpoint.
Uh-oh.
Al, what have you seen on an Italian beef sandwich, sir?
Hey, love the show, first of all.
Thank you.
What I've seen a lot in the last, 10, 15 years is a lot of people putting that liquid orange cheese.
Like a nacho cheese, you mean?
Like a whiz style cheese. Like a cheese whiz.
Yeah, right.
it's not the same as what they, it doesn't belong on Italian beef.
No, it ruins all the flavor of the Italian beef.
Right, exactly. And it's just a clash of, a wrong clash of culture.
It's a Philly steak wannabe, and it's wrong.
Yeah. Jimmy, you wouldn't allow that at Bona Beef, right?
No,
that doesn't
I
go
don't
on there.
Think so, no.
No. We'll put a stop to that toot sweet, Al.
That's why I keep going there. Thank you.
All right, take care. Thanks for holding on.
Well, you think about this day, and what are the celebrations going to be? And we encourage everybody to celebrate responsibly. You know,
Please.
No rioting, no looting, no
Not
any
this
of
this year.
The fireworks, maybe, but you know, responsibly and in moderation as far as the libations. But you guys have got some official ways that people can get their celebration on and get out and enjoy.
Get their beef on.
Get their beef on. Get some beef. And so, talk about some of the things you guys are going to be doing on Saturday and in
sure.
the future.
So, I mean, besides that, we are doing at every location. So, all 18 of our locations, we got Italian beefs for $4. Mm-hmm. Italian sausage sandwiches for $3, and then beef and sausage combos for $5. That's going to be all across all locations. But we're doing a special celebration at our location in Harwood Heights. That's 7343 West Lawrence Avenue. But basically, we're doing a promotion where if you get in line before 11, you get a free beef sandwich.
Oh, that's worth it, man.
Yeah, so we'll have a nice...
Get in line now.
People are lining up
immediately. Yeah, get in line now if you want.
Wow, good deal.
We got a bunch of other stuff going on there, too, though. A bunch of entertainment. We'll have our three mascots hanging out there. You can take pictures with them.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a giveaway for free beef for a year.
Captain Beefheart playing?
Yes.
For the live entertainment.
Yeah.
What does free beef for a year mean? Does that mean like you get one a week? Or?
Yeah, one sandwich for every week for a whole year.
Nice.
So if you take a picture at one of the restaurants, do hashtag National Italian Beef Day, and then you could win to free beef for a year.
But it's great to have Jimmy in there, all the legacy and all the great stuff that Bona has done to become kind of the physical embodiment of superstar beef
right.
here in Chicago and nationally now. And a little bit later, and on Saturday, we mentioned a little bit about the show, we're going to talk about the journey, the road trip of beef from this kind of humble dish all the way to superstardom, where mm-hmm. it is. And we're going to record that a little bit after this. And we're going to go all the way back to the origins, all the way back to the 20s to today. So it's going to
perfect.
Be exciting.
Dane, great to see you. Jimmy, great to meet you.
Yes.
Happy National Italian Beef Day on Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for having me.
Absolutely. We'll take a quick break. News is next, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Kim. Yesterday on the stream, I had mentioned it was my son Michael's 18th birthday. He wanted steak for his 18th
why wouldn't
birthday.
He? Mm.
I said, Gibson's, Morton's, Ruth's, Chris, where are we going? He said, Mom, will you grill it for me? I wish we would have talked to the guest we're having on now yesterday, because I may have ruined my bone-in ribeye. Jamie Pervyance, Weber's Master Griller. We're talking about the new cookbook, Weber's Greatest Hits. Jamie, I could have used you yesterday.
I wish I was there, and congratulations to your son.
Thank you. I was actually on the Weber site, because I need to get new grates for my grill. And some very helpful things there and recipes. I even got my meat thermometer out. And you can go from really rare to a little bit well done in a matter of a minute, can't you?
No kidding. Yes. There's a short little window there.
I slammed it shut on myself.
Oh, no. Wendy, if only Jamie had the power to time travel, we could go back in time. That's too bad.
But now, how many times do people get a great steak? A bone-in ribeye is one of my favorites. And salt and pepper, maybe a little of olive oil. You want the meat to taste, you know, you don't want to cover the meat flavor. But how do you do it? You sear it on the first side for a couple of minutes, and then do you keep flipping? Do you flip once? What's your recommendations?
Well, flipping once is a good idea, and also keeping the lid down as much as possible. An inch thick ribeye steak like that should really only take maybe 6 or 7 minutes. So it's 3 minutes or so on each side with the lid down. And, you know, eventually you develop a little sense of touch. That's one way to check if it's done. There's another thing that you might want to invest in, which is an instant read thermometer. There are some that you just put the probe in, you can see the temperature right there. Then there's a cool new one called the iGrill, where you put the probe in and it connects to your smartphone, so you can actually look on your phone to see exactly what the temperature is. So 125, 130 degrees is when you want to take it off for medium rare.
And then you do let it sit. I covered it with foil as suggested because you want your steak. Why do you let it settle like that? But it continues cooking. What's it called when you do that?
That's carryover cooking.
Okay.
Yeah, even when it's off the grill, it's still warm. So it's cooking away. It'll probably raise another, you know, 5 degrees or so.
That's what pushed me over the edge from medium to medium well.
You carry over too much.
Yep.
Oh.
Damn it.
You know, there's another technique that you might want to try at some point called the reverse sear, where you get a little bit more control over the doneness. So what you did, it sounds like, is you just started searing it right over the fire immediately, which can work well if you're really experienced. But if you want to take it a little easier, you start the steaks over indirect heat, very low indirect heat. You kind of slow roasting them for about 20 minutes or so, but the heat is so low that you're not overcooking them. That way you cook them nice and even throughout, and then at the very end, you sear them over direct heat. And that way you're less likely to overcook it, and it actually makes a more tender steak.
Well, that
sounds
good
easy.
To
know.
One
that's
of
easy.
The expert tips in Weber's Greatest Hits.
Jamie, explain this to me. I see this at Williams-Sonoma. They'll have these little metallic trays that you put over your grill, and you can cook either fish or meat on there. What's the advantage in that as opposed to just having it directly on the grill itself?
Well, I like to have food directly on the grill.
Yeah.
I think that's why we like grilled food. It has that charred kind of caramelized quality.
Yeah.
So that's ideal. There are some cases where a pan, particularly a perforated pan, works well. You want the holes because you want that smoke coming through and flavoring the food. So examples include, you know, when the food is so small that it might actually fall through the grate.
Mm-hmm.
If you got chopped up mushrooms or little rock shrimp or, you know, tiny scallop, something like that, they do really well on a pan. Some people like to use the pan for bigger pieces of fish because they're a little easier to turn that way.
Oh.
They don't tend to stick to the bars so much.
Yeah.
But in my world, you know, if you can put it down on the hot grate, you're going to get better flavor throughout.
All right, gas or charcoal? Because I have a Weber gas grill, a silver Genesis B that's kind of old,
oh,
but is
nice,
awesome.
Nice.
I like gas because I like to go out there and turn it on and get cooking right away. What's better?
Yeah, I like gas too. In many cases, there's nothing like that convenience, and you can quickly change temperatures from low to very high in just a couple of minutes. So there's a lot going for gas. Charcoal fanatics will tell you, and I have to agree, that the flavor is different on charcoal, you know, depending upon the type of charcoal. You get that really woodsy, smoky quality of outdoor cooking. You know, it means you got to invest a little bit more in time and managing the fire, but charcoal fanatics think that it's well worth the time. So, you know, for me, it's like gas is usually sort of the midweek grill, and then the charcoal is the weekend grill.
When you have a little more time, right? Is that what you're basing it on?
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Do you have two grills, Bill?
No, I just have the one grill.
Gas?
Yeah, that's it.
I like it. We are talking to Jamie Pervaience, and we're talking about the book, Weber's Greatest Hits. More than 115 recipes, including beer marinated chicken tacos, best on the block baby back ribs. Is it okay to parboil a rib?
No, it's not.
Oh, darn it. I really will flunk everything.
Don't
then.
Do it, Wendy.
That's how I do it.
No, I mean, you know, it'll make the ribs tender, but when you boil ribs, you're pulling really good flavor and moisture out of the ribs, so you're compromising.
I'm surprised you didn't hang up on us there, Jamie. I was sure you'd hang up. How many books is this for you, Jamie? You've written at least a dozen, right? More than that.
I've written a few more than a dozen. Yeah, I've done. At last count, it was about 2,500 recipes.
That's tremendous.
So a lot. And for Weber's Greatest Hits, the challenge was to pick the 100 or so best. So we did a big online survey. We asked Weber fanatics, you know, what are your favorite recipes? So this book has them all, which is really nice because you can just be assured that no matter what you pick in the book, it's going to be a winner. It's been totally vetted, tested many times. It's a greatest hit.
All right, people feel pressured to grill on Memorial Day, and it's coming up. This is Memorial Day weekend. What are some of the favorite foods that people like to grill the most?
Well,
burgers, I would.
Have remained the same for decades. You know, burgers, hot dogs, steaks, chicken pieces, and ribs. Those are the big ones. And actually, there's a section in the front of Weber's Greatest Hits where I give like two or three tips on each one of those categories because they are so popular and because people continue to make mistakes with them year after year.
I didn't hear shish kebab in that list, Jamie. Did you purposely leave it off, or is that no longer in vogue?
Well, I don't think it's as big as the other ones, but no. Sure, there are a lot of. Are you a shish kebab fan?
Very much so, yeah. I love that.
You know, I kind of screwed that up two nights ago because I swear to God, I got to read this book. I put some foil on the grill. I marinated them in a teriyaki sauce and made my own skewers. And it again, I go from worrying about it being raw to it being overcooked. What can I do to prevent that from happening?
Well, you know, one thing with shish kebabs is that you should really only have one or two types of ingredients on each kebab.
That's
it. If you've got more than that, then you're trying to nail the perfect doneness on two or three different things, like tomatoes and mushrooms and onions and the beef. It becomes very complicated. So when I do a shish kebab, I usually just do all beef on one kebab or all shrimp on another kebab or all chicken or all mushroom. And that way, you know, each kebab gets exactly the right amount of time. And then, you know, I have to say, you know, the reason I write cookbooks is because I want people to have reliable times and temperatures.
Yeah.
So if you follow the recipe, the doneness is not an issue. It should be perfect.
But then the trade-off, Jamie, is you're not getting the flavors kind of melding together as they cook.
And that's the presentation. It looks kind of nice.
Right. But again, the sacrifice is the flavor. You want good flavor, right?
Yeah, you can combine occasionally, but just make sure that what you're combining all cooks within the same window of time.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
What's your favorite thing to grill, Jamie?
Steak. I like your son, I guess. It's so gratifying when you get a beautiful, charred, smoky steak hot off the grill.
Next year on his birthday, Jamie, could you come into town into Chicago and make him a steak,
Michael,
please?
Yeah.
Please?
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right.
Yeah, I'll do it. I have a bone-in ribeye that is smoked with thyme. So I use actually thyme sprigs, which is sort of a woodsy thing, like wood chips, to flavor the meat. It's really good.
I'll make that
for him.
All right.
All right. Can I partake in that, too? I'd like to eat it, not cook it.
Can
you just admit, though, that I think practice makes perfect? I used to grill all the time year-round because it's on our back porch and even in the winter. And I haven't grilled in a couple years, and I feel like I've lost my touch. Can that happen?
I think so. Yeah, it's a little bit like playing a sport. You know, when you get back into it after a while, you're a little rusty, but soon you get a little groove going, and you feel more in tune with your grill. A lot of it is just controlling the fire and managing the heat to be at the right level. You might have high heat on one side and low heat on the other side, and knowing when to move from one to the other. It takes a little practice.
Do you ever still make mistakes, Jamie?
Oh, yes.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, I tend to push the envelope a little bit. I mean, for example, I start doing now a lot of cooking in the embers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take a steak and I'll put it right down on burning coals, which sounds like a ridiculous idea, right? You just think it would be incinerated. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is.
Oh.
So, yes, I make mistakes. But if you do it just right, this kind of coal-cooked or ember-cooked steak is pretty amazing because you get the real flavor of the wood permeating the meat, and people love that.
You know how the coal gets ashes on it, though? Isn't that get all over your steak?
There sometimes are some coals that stick to the steak, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because with that technique, you want to use 100% pure natural lump charcoal. So it's nothing but wood.
Right.
So it's not like there's petroleum or anything in there.
No, there are no additives whatsoever. It's just wood and meat.
Still, Wendy, you might want to run the steak through the dishwasher before you eat it, just to be safe. Try that.
Listen, I had a lot of flare-ups, and this is an old grill, and I went to Weber.com last night, and I mean, I really will say that Weber is not trying to get new money out of you. You talk about the flavorizer bars, and it says as long as there aren't holes in them, you can use a putty knife or maybe an SOS pad and scrape them down. Oh. Is that where the flare-ups are coming from? Is my flavorizer bars are just too dirty?
Yes, that's right, because if the bars are coated with grease and carbon and whatnot, as soon as that stuff is heated up and reignited, you're going to get some flare-ups. But if you clean it off, then you won't. Then when the fat and the juice hits that hot bar, it just turns into smoke. And that's really lovely because that flavors the food.
And what do you recommend as I replace the grates on our grill? Do you go cast iron or do you go stainless steel? Which does it make a difference?
There is a difference, sure. They're obviously different metals. Cast iron takes a little bit longer to heat up, but once it gets hot, it stays really hot. So you can put a cold piece of meat down on there, and it'll still sear it really, really well. So I love cast iron personally, but stainless steel works beautifully as well. So it's really close, to be honest with you.
It's pretty easy to maintain your Weber grill. Mine's really old. I changed the igniter on it myself. Totally worked. It's really easy to keep up, and they last a lifetime.
Yeah, Weber makes grills forever. It's not a great business model, you know, as you say. People aren't replacing them very often. But the good news is once you've got one, you know, you're going to have performance for many, many years.
So you have to pick up this cookbook, Weber's Greatest Hits. Jamie Previance on the line with us. Weber's Greatest Hits will give you a bunch of new recipes so you can cook forever and ever and ever.
115, Wendy. That's how many are loaded into this. That's tremendous. Jamie, great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Bill and Wendy. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
Happy Memorial Day.
You too.
All right, let's take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.